This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is the voice within for another week. Well, did the computer breakdown affect you at all? It was a couple of weeks ago, I think, that Pam Gregory talked about things like this happening, and just after the event she put a little thing up on Facebook saying that it was due to the clash of the planets that everything went down. So here now she is talking about what's coming up in August for us.
Hi everyone, I'm here to talk to you today about the first half of August and the new moon that we have coming up on the 4th in Leo. Now, we have some very intense astrology for the rest of this year. It's been very eventful and dramatic through mid-July. The pace is going to pick up again from about the 12th of August in particular, and the energy is extremely dynamic moving into September, October, November, into the end of the year. So just know that. Just know Mars is now in Gemini, which will speed things up even more because Mars is always very speedy. Gemini is mutable air, so there can be a real feeling of fast moving news, information, events coming in. It stays in Gemini until the 5th of September. So, but generally, it's very dynamic, particularly, as I say, the 12th of August onwards, if we're just looking at August. So what I may do is do the next update a little bit early and cover that whole period in the next video. So don't think when things become very eventful and colourful and dramatic that anything is not, that something has gone wrong, because the astrology can see this very clearly, and we are on plan, let us say, as the old world collapses and the new is born. Also, just to remind you, as many of you know, that we are entering the period of the Lion's Gate. Really, that whole period is from the 26th of July until the 12th of August. This happens every year when the Earth, the Sun, Sirius, and Orion align together, and it peaks on the 8th of August, and this is traditionally always a time for a lot of spiritual information to come in, for healing, for increased manifestation ability, and many spiritual people talk about this. So go and follow their very detailed work, because it isn't, you know, so strictly astrological in the way that I'm looking at astrology, but you will get an awful lot of information on social media about it. But it's very propitious. It's very fortunate and beneficial for us, particularly because Lionsgate is always very strong energy, but we have so much light coming onto our Earth right now. This will be a particular peak. So let us begin. The first aspect of note is on the 2nd of August, and that is a square between Venus at 26 of Leo and Uranus at 26 of Taurus. And this can bring up, because Venus is linked to currencies, banking, that kind of thing, some fluctuations in currencies. Could be precious metals too, because Taurus is linked to precious metals. We saw some quite dramatic swings in those recently when Uranus in Taurus was aspected by Mars. It can also mean that if either Venus at 26 of Leo or Uranus at 26 of Taurus is falling in your relationship houses, your fifth or your seventh house, But if they are in, either of them are in your relationship houses, there may be a phase where you think, gosh, I need more space, I need more freedom, I need more independence, I need to breathe a bit more, I'm feeling a bit suffocated and constrained in this relationship. Just observe that, and perhaps don't act too precipitously, because this too shall pass. It is a passing transit. By the next week, Venus would have moved on from that square. And then we have the new moon in Leo. This happens on the 4th. It happens at 4:13 a.m. Pacific, and it happens at 12:13 p.m. lunchtime on the clock in the UK. We're still in British summertime. And this new moon is at 12 degrees and 34 minutes of Leo. Now, this is always the perfect time to set a new intention for what you want to manifest in your life, plant a new seed. So see where 12 degrees of Leo falls in your chart, because it is best if you condition your intention by the house area that this falls in. You know, is it your income? Is it your health? Is it your family? You know, relationship? What is it? And that will help you to condition your intention about the new seed that you plant. One of the big themes of Leo is always about creativity. It's big and bold and dramatic. It's wonderful for creativity, you know, dramatic color, that kind of thing. And because it's very much about feeling confident to stand in your light, in your creative gifts, and helping other people in shining your light, helping other people do the same. So it's, you know, it's beautiful from that point of view. It's very social. Very, you know, usually, unless it's has difficult aspects to any plants in Leo, it's usually very happy to be social, very, very confident. Also has a lot of integrity, high principle, and natural leadership as well. You know, think of the lion in the jungle, the symbol it represents. So, and along with Aries, I would say, Leo is one of the strongest signs for sovereignty. And what I mean by sovereignty is a kind of living with autonomy, because in this life and many previous lives, I believe, we have been encouraged to defer to external authority, whatever that represents. That's been the patterning. But now, as part of our evolution, a big part of our evolution is stepping back into our own individual sovereignty, our own power. And what that means is really just an energetic sense of I'm living from the inside out, not the outside in. My energy is not being scattered by, you know, listening to nightly news, social media, and reacting to that and scattering my energy and giving my power away to those people or events. I am deciding from the first moment in my day that I will dominate my day by the emotions I choose, be they love, be they peace, be they compassion, gratitude, whatever you choose. And you have a very clear sense of I am broadcasting that emotion to the world. And if you do that, you have a very different reality day to day. And if lots of us do it, then it becomes a real wave, a real momentum. So, but it's also, I think, in practical terms, stepping into your sovereignty. And that may be that you are growing your own food at home, even if that's just microgreens on the windowsill. Everybody can do that, and it's very simple and inexpensive to do. Using more cash, perhaps, buying locally rather than online globally, getting to know your local farmer, shopping at your local farmers' markets, if such things exist. Or is there a People's Food and Farming Alliance near you that you can be part of in some way? And can you be self-employed or partly self-employed? It's that sort of a feeling that you are living more within your own endeavors as a sovereign being rather than being an employee in a very large global company. It's that sort of a feeling. And of course, we can't do this all at once. But if you take steps in that direction, those are practical ways that we can start to achieve sovereignty. So, but it's mainly energetic. You know, are you living in love? Are you living in fear? Are you living in love? Are you living in fear? And, you know, I heard Dr. Zach Bush the other day talk about how there's more love on this earth than there's ever been before. So whatever, you're not going to hear that on the nightly news. You know, whatever it's saying on the nightly news, you get a very false impression. And it really, together, living in love, together with the changes in cosmology, the fact we're moving through the photon belt, the fact that we are at the peak of solar cycle 25, we're experiencing a lot of solar activity right now. You know, many different endings and beginnings in planetary movements, which I've talked about at great length over the last couple of years. All of these things are creating higher timelines, powerful timelines of shift. And remember that we really are in a stage of evolution where we have a blank canvas moving forwards in a way that we've never had before. In the past, we would have had fairly predictable life structures, if you like. We'd go to school, maybe we'd go to college, we'd fall in love, we'd get married, we'd have children, we'd buy a house, we'd keep the house long term, that kind of predictability. And that's really going to be up for grabs as we move forwards, because we're moving into this accelerated evolution where it won't just be same old, same old. We're going to be much more creative about how we run our own lives. So we have more of a blank canvas moving forwards than we have ever known, certainly in this time and this lifetime, and I would say probably for many. Now, that's very exciting. It's very empowering, but we also have to live, I think, much more consciously and with greater intention in terms of the emotions and feelings that we're living with day to day, because that's what's creating our tomorrow. You know, there's a Chinese proverb about it, that whatever your thoughts and feelings today are creating your tomorrows. And that really, you know, we know from all the research, there's a lot of evidence for that. So there is great potency in the invisible. And people often say, well, you know, where is New Earth? I'm not seeing any evidence of it. Well, you know, I think if you're living in those less positive emotions, you won't see it. Because everything in life is a frequency match. And so if we're living in more positive emotions, as I constantly say, of love, joy, peace, compassion, gratitude, we are going to, through the frequency match principle, which is a law of the universe, that your reality becomes a frequency match to what you're broadcasting, we are going to bump into the right people, the right opportunities, the right circumstances, and then you will start to see the early manifestations, the green shoots of New Earth, because they are all over the place. Groups getting together, people write to me every day from all over the world that they're buying land, they're growing food, they're getting together with like-minded people, generally in person, but it can be online as well, to start to embryonically, but to start to create a different kind of social structure from the grassroots up, which is much more sovereign. As I said, they're happening all over the world, and I've had a lot of contact and experience of those. So it's happening, but you can only see them. It's like, you know, there's that apocryphal story of some people could see the ship on the horizon on the sea and other people can't. It's that kind of, or in a haunted house, some people can see the ghost and the other people can't. It's all about a frequency match. So if you tune your radio dial to more positive emotions, nobody decides that but you. Nobody forces you onto any particular timeline but yourself. Then you are going to see, attract, and live out these very different circumstances. And the reason I feel so confident about this is having done a big analysis even just of Pluto, let's say, in the historical times when it moved into Aquarius, which it only does every 248 years, going back to the 1200s, the 1500s, the late 1700s, the last time this happened, and observing what happened to the socioeconomic and political system during those years, I can say with a lot of confidence that if we take this opportunity with love, we are on the fastest evolutionary trajectory than we have ever been. So try and feel that excitement and empowerment rather than the despair of what is collapsing. So that's, you know, that's quite a lot about sovereignty, because it is all around us. So the other thing, just before we look at the chart for the new moon, is that the sun and moon at 12:34 of Leo are very tightly opposing Chariclo. I haven't talked about Chariclo for a long time because she hasn't been part of the geometry. Beautiful Chariclo. Chariclo is a centaur. She, in myth, was the wife of Chiron. She's a soul midwife who is present in times of shift from life to death, but she's also very present in shifts of consciousness, which is what we're going through right now. To me, she very much represents the eternal ground of being, the eternal silent ground of being that the Buddhists refer to. She is just a silent, beautiful, healing state of being. And, you know, I love this sort of radiant presence that is very much part of her symbolism. And, you know, you can meet people like this, can't you, that meditate a lot. And as soon as they walk in a room, they're kind of shining with this energy of peace and presence. And that's Chariclo for me. So this gives us, this reminds us that is always, always there to allow us to drop into peace, drop into stillness, drop into silence. And I've talked recently about booking stillness meetings with yourself. And I just think that's a great idea, at least once a day, that you have an appointment in your diary to book a stillness meeting. Because how often do we do that? You know, we put our feet on the ground in the morning and boom, we think of our to-do list, checking our emails, checking our phone, off we go, lickety-split through our day. So it's taking those pauses. And with Chariclo, when you have those stillness meetings, even just for a few moments, a few minutes in a day, remember to put your worries in a box next to you. Just put them in a box. You can always pick them up again when you're finished your stillness meeting. But get used to putting your worries in a box. You are able to do that. You are able to make them separate from you, because that's a very good habit for us to fall into, that they do not own us. They do not possess us. We can put them in a box to one side when we choose to. So, yes, dropping into stillness, peace, and loving that stillness. I so often say, I love stillness. I love peace. I love that sense of bliss, dropping into bliss, and cultivate, you know, milk what that feeling is like for you. Because the more that becomes your default setting, rather than any kind of fear or panic, the better your day-to-day reality will be. So, very long lead-in to the new moon. So let us now look at the new moon in Leo. This is sun, moon, always together, a new moon, opposing Chariclo at 15 of Aquarius. I've just spoken about that and how important that is. So, and I've talked about the creativity of Leo, this kind of big, dramatic, colourful creativity. But also, the sun and moon are sextile to Mars and Jupiter. Now, I just want to step back for a moment and remind you that in mid-July, 14th to the 16th, it was exact, although it spanned a few days to either side of that, we did have Mars conjunct Uranus. And although Mars has a two-year cycle and comes to conjunct Uranus, therefore, every 2 years, that doesn't happen when they are both conjunct the fixed star Algol as well, which is linked to losing your head. Losing your head in a kind of crazy sense, or leaders losing their power in some way. That hasn't happened since 1941. So certainly we had some manifestations of that. You know, I never, ever like to see violence, but there was a violent event, as many of you know, in the US. Also, just a couple of days after that, there was a lot of internet disruptions. There was an upgrade on CrowdStrike, and that took out a lot of bank payments, card payments. There was a lot of airport disruption, aviation disruption. We'd anticipated that with Uranus, because Uranus is also the sky god, that it could manifest in that way too. So the symbolism playing out was very accurate to that. Now, Mars has moved on, but Uranus is still conjunct Algol until the end of October, and then it comes back again retrograde in April and May next year to conjunct Algol. So if you go back to my previous update, all the countries and people I was talking about with Uranus conjunct Algol still apply. Mars was just a kind of trigger, an igniter of that symbolism, but all of those things still apply. Now, we've had, just in the last 24 hours, pretty dramatic events in the US, with President Biden stepping out of the re-election race, the election coming up in November. So, you know, somebody very, very prominent in power, no longer going forward in that position of leadership. And that fits really with the Algol symbolism. So I believe we will see, we've seen major changes in leadership in the UK, and to some extent in France, and also in Belgium, I believe we will see more pretty dramatic shifts in leadership going forwards over those months that I've just mentioned. So, but now Mars is starting to advance on Jupiter, and they are technically conjunct. So this does several things. Mars always energizes where it is, Jupiter expands. So they're in the sign of Gemini. So there is going to be a lot of heat and fast interchange on social media. Gemini and Aquarius are the two signs linked to social media. There's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of information, a lot of facts pouring out at speed, because Gemini is already quick. It's kind of very mercurial. Mars energizes that further. So it's going to be fast. It's going to feel overwhelming at times, which is why you've got to, it'd be a good idea to drop into your stillness meetings. Please stay out of spats, tit for tats, I'm right, you're wrong, because it feeds this polarity that ultimately mushrooms into something so much bigger that, you know, I talked about in the last video, and that's never helpful for anyone. You know, just stay in your eagle's perch, stay in divine neutrality. It will serve you, the people around you, and the collective so much better. I was just listening to Greg Braden, you know, talking about, it was beautiful, talking about how we are one consciousness, which of course we are, and I've talked about that too. One consciousness, and we are divine fractals of that one consciousness, and how it is essentially a hologram. And absolutely, you know, I remember writing about this in my first book quite some years ago. But he was emphasizing the point that as we as individuals shift, just as one individual even, we alter the entire hologram, the entire collective, the entire consciousness. But when we come together in groups, that energy is magnified further, which of course is what we're trying to do in the Sunday meditations, and many people are doing that all over the world too. It's so powerful. So, but Mars is also conjunct Jupiter. I think of this as a kind of crusading conjunction. You know, when you're fighting for your beliefs, Jupiter, you're fighting for the truth, Jupiter. So it can have a very, energetic component of a group of people coming together and fighting for the truth. And what is that truth going to be about? With all facts and information coming out. Well, if we look at the ruler of Gemini, that's Mercury. It's in another of its signs of rulership, Virgo, and it is stationary. And that means that Mercury is very strong here. Virgo, where Mercury is sitting, is principally to do with health. So we could see a lot of information just pouring out about health and people taking, you know, one side or the other. So please, please try and be neutral, try and be objective, because remember, with Neptune at the anaretic degree of Pisces here, one of the shadow sides of that is what's true and what's not. What's true, what's not. So the slippage in that last degree of Pisces, because Neptune rules Pisces too. So drop into your heart, drop into your breath to use your discernment. That's very linked to Virgo too, about what's true and what's not. Now, Gemini is also very creative, particularly with writing projects, really creative. And they are in sextile, as I say, to Leo. So Sun, Moon here, and we also have Venus in Leo. That's more, as I mentioned, to do with, I think of it as colour and art and, you know, big dramatic beauty. It can be acting as well. So, but overall, these are two very social signs and very creative signs. So it's a really good time to start a creative project. New moon, new seed, new moon in Leo. So yes, but do be careful on social media. Now, also we have Mars in a very tight quincunx, actually, to Ceres. That's almost at 9 degrees, and we have Mars at 9 degrees here. Ceres is about harvests and grains, so certainly in some stresses around those with extreme weather and our food supply. But Mars really energizing that does suggest to me, and Uranus in Taurus also suggests, that there will be new ideas, Gemini, around food growing, innovations around food growing. That's very much Uranus in Taurus to do with food production and agriculture, very much to do with Mars in Gemini in aspect to Ceres, new initiatives. Which could be, you know, I was watching a brilliant documentary recently. I think it was called The Need to Grow, and how this particular gentleman, it's a great documentary to watch, by the way, had developed an organic method of turning land that was just dust. It was, you know, just pulverized and no nutrients, into really nutrient-rich soil with worms and microbes within about a month. I mean, it was just incredible. So I think we're going to have a lot of new ideas. And I also feel, as I've spoken about recently, that we are, with the Lemurian energy coming in more strongly, I haven't put Selassie in here, but Selassie, a dwarf planet that represents to me dolphin energy, Lemurian energy, is at 11 degrees of Aries and therefore tightly in trine to this new moon. I believe that Selassie, close to the North Node, plus Homer, as I've spoken about, in this very strong square to Pluto long-term for the next couple of years, and quincunx to Sedna for the next couple of years, very strong geometry here. Homer, strong regenerative principle in a water sign. Sedna, We know the myth of Sedna, how she represents metamorphoses of Sedna into beautiful sea creatures. I believe we are going to see ancient landmasses of Lemuria re-emerging from the sea. I've mentioned that a couple of months ago, there was a gigantic mountain range that nobody knew about, discovered off the coast of Chile. Recently, something else has been discovered around the Dogger Bank, which I believe is between sort of UK and Scandinavia. As these come up, and certainly this was true of the mountain range off the coast of Chile, had new species of seafood, fish. As we move forward, I think we are going to have very rich nutrients coming from the sea, medicines coming from the sea. I believe that things like algae and plankton are going to give us nutrient-dense food in a way that we've never known it before. So even if areas of land are struggling so much, I believe fertile new land, ancient land, but new land with new species is going to come from the sea. I feel that in my bones. So that's a whole exciting aspect over the coming 2-3 years and beyond. Okay. Just one other thing while we are talking about Mars here. Mars here is conjunct Uranus in the US chart, that 4th of July, 1776, Philadelphia, 10 past 5 in the afternoon, which suggests, and Uranus in that chart rules the third house of media and communication. So we could see some pretty explosive news coming out round about this full moon, give or take a few days in the US, as if we haven't seen enough already. But that's going to be interesting to see. Another, so I should talk about it in this chart. Another aspect which is building is a square between Jupiter and Saturn. Now, Jupiter moves faster than Saturn. It has a 12-year cycle. Saturn has a 29.5-year cycle. So this is starting to come into an exact square. If you have anything between around 15 to around 19 degrees of the mutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, Pisces, you may be feeling this even more strongly. But for everybody, see where Jupiter is falling in your chart, which house area at 15 degrees of Gemini, because this will tend to expand that particular area of life. It may bring some success or abundance or recognition in that area. Whereas where Saturn is falling at 18 of Pisces currently, this can be excellent for focusing the mind down on very specific objectives. It can be where repair work or building work or something like that, or just a lot of hard work becomes necessary, but then you get your reward when you finish that period of work. Say if it's in your 10th house or your 6th house, you know, the message is strategically to kind of keep your head down, work hard, and then you get your reward at the end. But what's even more interesting about this square is you may remember back at the Capricorn solstice in December 2020, that these two planets were in conjunction. This was called the Great Conjunction. It happened at zero of Aquarius. Quite remarkable that it happened at 0 degrees of a sign. Another suggestion of, you know, beginnings and endings. And what this conjunction does is kind of set up the zeitgeist, the background, kind of social atmosphere, if you like, for roughly 200 years in each element. So this conjunction repeats every 20 years, now repeating in air signs, because remember, Aquarius is an air sign, not a water sign. Then it continues 200 years in another element, say it's earth or fire or water, ongoing. So this conjunction actually started, and that's why it's called the Great Conjunction, a new 800-year cycle in total. Now, and that is what Pluto, sitting at 0 degrees of Aquarius, where this conjunction was at the end of 2020, is strongly activating over the next couple of years. Aquarius is the sign of freedom, human rights, civil rights, brotherhood, sisterhood, people coming together, greater equality, people coming together in groups, grassroots, communities, collaborations. This is like mycelium, information networks, all the things actually I've just been talking about are highly activated by Pluto over the next couple of years, but they were set up by Jupiter and Saturn. Now, what's interesting with this square, this kind of blossoming square, is that whenever we have two planets in conjunction, and then at some point in the future, depending on the speed of their orbits, they come into square, that becomes the first testing point of that original conjunction. So if that original conjunction was around issues, because it was in Aquarius, or freedom, human rights, civil rights, new earth, communities, collaboration. This is the first kind of reality check of, okay, how well are we doing collectively in achieving that at this first square? And how well are you doing individually in achieving that? Those are really good questions to ask. You know, if you met your soul tribe, either online or physically, if you met those people that you are going to be moving forward, holding hands with into certainly your next episode, have you connected with them as your family of frequency? Thank you.
That's a track called Archangels from a guy called Midori. So now back to Pam.
Also, I've noticed that this aspects between Jupiter and Saturn come up a lot in the charts of economists, people who work in the financial business, because potentially, if we can integrate them, it's actually a very good combination of expansion and contraction, i.e. cautious expansion, strategic expansion for the long term, which is the Saturn bit. Cautious and strategic expansion for the long term. So that kind of energy would be extremely positive in helping to move forwards in this new episode for humanity around freedom, human rights, civil rights, communities, brotherhood, sisterhood, etc. Okay, lots to say there. So just one other thing before I move on, really. The new moon is conjunct this dwarf planet here, this little symbol called Varuna, dwarf planet called Varuna. And Varuna originally was the Hindu creator god of the oceans, the waters, the underwater realm as well. And so things, you know, issues to do with water are going to be coming up very strongly, not only because Varuna is conjunct this new moon, but much, much more long term, because Neptune is still in its own sign of Pisces, but is also hovering around this anaretic degree, really until February 2022, when it moves fully into the next sign of Aries. That's a big deal. That's another very big new episode for humanity. So it's going to be hovering around the end of Pisces. And that anaretic degree is the crisis degree around potentially one of the areas is water. So this can be flooding. We've seen a lot of that. It can be drought, too much water, not enough water, water in the wrong place. It can be about the quality of water, toxicity, pollution in water. A lot of these issues we're going to see coming up for us to deal with. And we are getting really, I think, very skilled in understanding. You know, Vedas work is beautiful. Randy Hatton's work is beautiful. Dr. Alex Ling is doing a lot in this area of water too. You know, the people who are really making jumps in our understanding of water. Veda, as you know, calls it God consciousness, which I think is really quite beautiful as the primary evolutionary force in the universe. And I just think that's so exciting. So we've got so much more to discover about water. Anyway, that is highlighted particularly at this new moon. Varuna also punishes those liars in her symbolism. She's the keeper of moral law that do not honor contracts, that violate sacred law. That's going to be very interesting as well, together with everything else I've talked about with this chart. So creativity is a big one, linked to Leo. Another area for Leo is, of course, courage. And, you know, you think of the courage of the lion. And I think we, as a generation, those of us alive now who are helping to create new earth from scratch, are demonstrating an immense amount of courage. And I think generations in future will look back, and I always feel quite emotional with this, that they will look back on us as the trailblazers, the cycle breakers, the pioneers of building new earth, and think what courage those people had. What courage they had to stand in their sovereignty and in their love and in their light and create something much more loving for the people who followed on behind them. So I always feel quite emotional. So courage is a big part of Leo. But another very obvious part of Leo is it's the sign that is most associated with the heart, most associated with the heart. And I think we're all very aware that in this lifetime in particular, but also in previous lifetimes to some extent, we have lived in our minds. You know, this has been the information age, hasn't it? You know, the World Wide Web, communication, computers, social media like Twitter, which became X, TikTok, you know, they have all encouraged a kind of hamster span of attention, very short attention. You know, we're picking up information all day long. You know, we're getting faster and faster mentally at doing that, but there's such an overload, and there will be with Mars and Jupiter in Gemini. So please take those stillness meetings with yourself. So in future, we are moving to a much greater age of the heart, dropping into the wisdom of the heart. And the heart, I think it was discovered in the 1990s that the heart actually has 40,000 neurons. It's referred to as the little brain, and the heart, as you may know from the heart math work, sends more information to the brain than the brain does to the heart. The heart's toroidal field is massively larger than that of the brain, particularly when we are in coherent emotion, love, joy, peace, gratitude, compassion. So in future, we will live from the heart. When we are in embryo, in our mother's womb, the heart is the first organ that's developed, and it is our largest electromagnetic organ. And I've mentioned in the past how channelers such as Lee Harris have mentioned that it is the heart that is the portal to the cosmos. That's how we connect with the cosmos. And my good friend Janet Treloar, who channels an aspect of Dwell Kul, Zachariah, has also said that. So yes, very much. That is how, because it's the largest electromagnetic organ, that is how we connect to the electromagnetic field. And increasingly there is science in understanding that. And there's something very beautiful that comes from the ancient Vedas, thousands of Indian texts that are thousands of years old. This comes from a section of those called the Upanishads. And in the Upanishads, it talked about this tiny pinpoint of light at the center of the heart, this tiny pinpoint of light that is most vital as a kind of flame of our life force and our sacredness, if you like. So, you know, I'd suggest to you that when you drop into the heart with your breath, when you are in your stillness meetings, you drop it, you know, you're following the breath to drop into the heart. And please focus on the breath 100% as you drop into the heart. You could choose to focus on that tiny, tiny pinpoint of light, absolutely minuscule pinpoint of light in your heart. But you could perhaps choose whether you'd like to expand that pinpoint of light just a little bit. And with every breath, you may choose just to see if you can expand it just a little bit more and shine it a little more brightly. And if you do that as a practice, an experiment, just watch what happens, because then you really will be finding your light and living in your light in an even bigger way than you've done to date. And you will be connecting via connecting with other people's hearts with their light too. And, you know, I think this is something that is immensely exciting for free energetically that we can do, that will connect us at the most profound, the most loving, and the most sacred level as we move together in love as humanity. I just feel this so deeply. So, and, you know, all that I'm talking about here in creating new earth is not going to be shouty. It's not going to be loud. It's going to be in that loving, quiet conviction of your heart that we create this tsunami of love, this energetic wave of love that is building, building, building every single day. And, you know, people are reporting this back to me all the time. Yes, it seems to be very present when we do our 15-minute free meditations on a Sunday, all for free, no tech, no Zoom, no recording, no nothing, just join energetically. Lots of people are doing these global meditations, and inevitably, I'm sure we're joining with their energy. It's all for the greater good. So, you know, hold your light, hold your vision as we move forwards. And just before I came online, actually, And by the way, if you can't think of a better mantra, keep rolling around your head as you move through your day. You know, you're getting ready, you're making food, you're cleaning your teeth. We're welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. And just before I started to film this, I just happened to be watching a podcast from Next Level Soul with Alex Ferrari, and he was interviewing Lee Harris. And Lee Harris was channeling the Z's, and it was so beautiful and so relevant. I'd like to share that with you now, and I'll put the link for that video below. It came out on July the 20th. So Lee's Harris, his channeling of the Z's. So if you're willing to just take one tiny step in the direction of progress, one tiny step in the direction of healing, one tiny step in the direction of opening, it will amplify you so fast. You will unfurl your energy onto the planet in a way that you haven't previously experienced. And when you do that, you will find others who are doing the same. And you will amplify and multiply each other, exactly what I've been talking about here. For you are here to multiply an energy of love. You are here to multiply a vibration of oneness. It's an extraordinary thing. Really beautiful. And finally, and I have a special treat for you. About 2 weeks ago, I was offered at very short notice an opportunity to see a film about the heart, which is not yet on public release. And amazingly, in my very busy schedule, I had a gap and I was able to watch it. I thought it was really beautiful. It's taken 7 years to put together. It is extremely original in the way it's been put together. It's very sensitive. Really, just love emanated from this. I found it incredibly inspiring. It's some of it is about the science of the heart. A lot of it is about the emotion, the feeling of the heart. I was particularly struck, it's quite far into this film, I was particularly struck about the section about the young American girl called Millie. And I'd really suggest you watch it. I'd suggest you watch it all the way through, but that section was very touching for me. So at the end of watching this, we were on a kind of joint Zoom call. I offered the director, Benedict Just, because it isn't yet on public release, and he's just beginning to get this out to the world, as it were. I offered that if it would be helpful to take some short sections of the film, that I could share that with you, as links below this update video. And the director, Benedict Just, came back to me and very, very generously has said he will offer you the entire video, about 90 minutes long, to watch for free for the next week. You don't even have to put in your email address. You just click on the link and you instantly can watch it for free. It's only there for free for a week, because as I say, it's not yet on public release. You can share it with other people. Incredibly generous of him. And as I say, do share it widely. And the reason I want to do this, I've got no affiliation with Benedict or any of the other people involved in the production. You know, there's no financial, there's no nothing. It's just in these videos, I love to share knowledge and information with you, particularly if it's freely available and if it could inspire you or take you to a different level of consciousness. That's what I love to do, as you know. Yeah, enjoy. I really loved it. And I think Benedict has done a beautiful job. So that's it for the new moon in Leo. Very exciting astrology. Becomes even more dynamic from the 12th of August onwards. Very dynamic indeed. Very eventful until the end of the year. Remember that so much is going to be happening at the 3D level as the old kitchen cupboards are smashed out. Just keep that analogy in mind. But you don't have to live in the kitchen, in the rubble, while that's happening. You can be on your eagle's perch, creating new earth with loving friends and just living in joy. up to you, your choice. Nobody forces you onto either timeline. Really, really hope that's helped you. God bless. I'll be back very soon. Bye for now.
So if you want to catch up with Pam Gregory on her website to look at that film, it's www.thenextstep, or one word, and uk.uk.com. Surrounded by Love by Gerhard Bodron and Oliver Schaefer. Now, Patricia Kotarova is going to finish our show off with telling us all about the Olympic Games being held in Paris, France.
Hi, precious heart. No matter where we are on the planet, on July 26th, we will be able to energetically participate in the opening ceremonies for the Summer Olympic Games in Paris, France. The Olympic Games have always provided light workers with a powerful opportunity to add to the light of the world. This is due to the fact that during this global event, it is reported that between 5 and 6 billion people at one time or another turn their attention to the Olympic Games. The global focus of attention creates a very powerful cup of humanity's consciousness that has the ability to affect the masses of humanity in myriad ways. Even if a person only spends a short time watching television and seeing a clip of the Olympic Games on the evening news, their light and energy is woven into humanity's collective cup of consciousness. This means that whatever we choose to think, feel, say, and do while our attention is focused on the Olympic Games will be added to the collective cup of humanity's consciousness and will affect all life on Mother Earth in one way or another, depending on the frequency of energy we are releasing. The divine intent of the Olympic Games has created a powerful thought form that has been building in momentum for millennia. That thought form is a metaphor that symbolically represents the family of humanity, setting aside our differences in order to come together in peace with the goal of attaining our highest level of excellence. The Olympics focus on the sports and the physical abilities of humanity's physical bodies, but with the patterns of perfection for humanity's fifth dimensional crystalline solar light bodies now flowing from the new record keeper crystals into the mental and emotional strata of Mother Earth, that intention has expanded exponentially. During these Olympic Games, our fifth dimensional silent watcher, our I Am presence, and our fifth dimensional body elemental have the powerful opportunity to accelerate the divine alchemy that is transfiguring the carbon-based cells in our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies into the crystalline-based cells associated with our fifth-dimensional crystalline solar light bodies. The beings of light from our grand central sun have told us that the frequency of light that you and I and the rest of awakening humanity have the ability to breathe through our collective cup of humanity's consciousness during the Paris Olympic Games will accomplish shifts within our earthly bodies that will prepare us for the mission we are being called to co-create during the 38th Annual World Congress on Illumination. Remember, the goal of our divine mission for the World Congress is to awaken, activate, and elevate our dormant creative faculties of thought and feeling and our latent physical senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, intuition, and imagination. Together we will God victoriously accomplish this divine mission on behalf of all of the sons and daughters of God embodied on earth at this time. The beings of light who are assisting us from the system of our grand central sun are striving to help us truly comprehend that on a tangible conscious level that within the masses of humanity there are people around the world who are beginning to see positive evidence of the transfiguration that is taking place within our earthly bodies. The collective effect of the incremental shifts of energy, vibration, and consciousness we have experienced this year so far has greatly accelerated this process. The fifth dimensional crystalline solar light bodies we will abide in when our ascension process into the fifth dimensional crystalline solar new earth is complete will permanently transcend the maladies and the gross human miscreations we inadvertently miscreated after our fall from grace eons ago. Those human miscreations include aging, disease, degeneration, deformities, and every mental and emotional imbalance or dysfunction humanity is experiencing. Even death, as we know it now, is a human miscreation. The life-transforming events that are destined to accelerate the divine alchemy occurring within our earthly bodies will not happen by accident. This accelerated process will unfold step by step through the unified efforts of you and me and the rest of humanity working as our I Am Presence. The Company of Heaven said that this will catapult the process forward by leaps and bounds if we will utilize the collective cup of humanity's consciousness that is being formed by the focused attention of humanity during the Summer Olympic Games in Paris, France. During these Olympic Games, the most powerful assistance available to lightworkers is the perfectly balanced and elevated holy breath of our Father, Mother, God. Our breath is our direct connection to our God parents, who are the source of all that is. Our breath is our life force. We take our first breath at birth and our last breath when we go through the process that we refer to as death. With every balanced holy breath we take, the comprehensive divine love of our Mother God and the divine will and power of our Father God permeates our cells, organs, glands, muscles, and the electrons and atomic and subatomic particles in our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies. Our holy breath is creating an environment in which our I Am Presence is being qualified, quickened, and exalted to take full dominion of our earthly bodies. As this occurs, the divine alchemy that is transfiguring our earthly bodies from carbon-based cells into fifth-dimensional crystalline solar cells is being greatly accelerated. This is an individual process that will take place within each person according to our ability to assimilate and integrate the unprecedented frequencies that we are receiving of our Father, Mother, God's divine light. Now, encoded within every balanced and elevated holy breath we take, there is a divine intelligence that is gently revealing the truth of oneness within all life. This divine intelligence is exposing the illusion of our separation from God and any of our beliefs or memories that reflect a lack of reverence for all life. As this divine intelligence within the holy breath of our Father, Mother, God registers in our conscious mind, we begin to truly know that every human being is divine, regardless of how far his or her behavior patterns and life experiences may be from reflecting that truth. This is a vitally important realization in humanity's healing process. The thought form for the Olympic Games that has been building in power and might for millennia is the perfect knowing to focus on as we breathe our holy breath day by day. As you move through your daily activities, focus on these Olympic Games in Paris and consciously breathe your holy breath as you affirm as often as you are inspired to do so. With every holy breath I take, I am empowering God's comprehensive divine love and the immaculate concept of the family of humanity, setting aside our differences and coming together in love, oneness, and peace with the divine intent of attaining our highest level of excellence. And so it is. Dear one, please don't let this opportunity pass you by. God bless you.
So, what's happening down at Infinity Spiritual Centre on Anglesey Street? Well, tonight we have got our fortnightly conversations with Nina. So you can just come along and join with like-minded people and just sit around and chat about all sorts of things. Whatever comes up, whether it's meditation or channeling or seeing things or experiencing things. Just a conversation pit where you can get out of this world and explore other opportunities. Then on Saturday, Courtney is going to be presenting Art of Allowance for Mind and Body. So this is the clarity of consciousness and wisdom of the body. So it sort of covers all sorts of things: meditation, art, dance, shamanic journeying, and much more. So again, you can go to infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz and book up for that, find out all about it, what it's all about on there. And if you're into tarot, Stacey's going to be running another course for you early next month, a couple of weeks' time. Again, all details are on the website. I am Barry, it's been The Wise Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.